All right, everybody, we're going to get started. Thank you for coming to the session. Thanks for sticking it out until the end of the day. I know we're tired and we listened to a lot of stuff today. We're going to keep this pretty informal, as I always do with these sessions. The goal is not to show you 50 slides today. The goal is to actually show you some real-world examples and talk about some tactical implications of using on-demand watermarking technology. I should say, you know, we're at this point in time, our offering is fairly unique. There's not a lot of providers in the marketplace, but what we're doing is really part of a bigger trend where we see turnkey security offerings being available in the cloud, pretty on demand, with an API-first mindset. And I'm a huge evangelist and proponent of this type of approach because I've seen it work for many of our products and many of our customers. So what I want to do today is I want to walk you through a few of the highlights. I don't know if you had a chance to look through the little OVM study that we put on everyone's tables. It's a really cool study that I think sheds some light on this market and on security technologies in general. If you didn't grab one, go to safestream.com. You can download it there electronically. Feel free to share it. So we named this this session, if you like it, then you should put a watermark on it, just because we feel that that's what you should do. If there's valuable content, then it needs to be protected. One of the attributes of watermarking that I think is really valuable is that it does a couple of things. Watermarking today, we'll talk about in more detail, exists in primarily two forms. There is a visible and an invisible watermarking approach. And we see an increase in the demand for this watermarking technology, which is supported by this OVM study. So I want to go through some of the findings. Speakers with me today is our CTO, CSO, Alex Nauta, as well as Jared, who you just saw on the main stage panel from screeners.com, not pictured here, but you've seen him, and myself. So we decided, we had a hunch around opportunities in the industry, and we also heard the pain points from our customers in the media entertainment space around security, that there was a groundswell of support for watermarking. So we started working with OVM, which is a research company that we commissioned to essentially go out and say, here's the problem set, here's the questions we want to have answered, tell us what you come back with. There was no real intention to find anything out. We just wanted to get sort of a third-party assessment of this. And what they did is they surveyed 100 media and entertainment companies, really broad spectrum, all the big names, lots of content creators, so exactly sort of the segment that we saw assembled here today. And the key findings were, A, that the top business priorities are improving margins in an environment that is increasingly has downward pressure on margins as production costs are very high, as well as reduction of IP revenue leakages and an increase in platform reach, meaning that we can deliver content to different platforms without having to jump through too many hoops. As I alluded to upstairs, we also confirmed that pre-launch IP content theft is sort of where the biggest portion of our leakages occur, pre-launch, about 52% of all this. And this is a number that really over the years that we've started tracking this hasn't changed much. I think at some point it was like 40%, 45%. It's a number that sort of seems to be ticking up. And to me that says we're not doing a good enough job hardening the post-production environments. And sometimes it's really difficult because things need to be sent to standards and practices or for localization or for approval, and it's a last minute thing and we can't really control it, and so it gets out. And that's exactly sort of what this watermarking technology aims to address. They also found that screeners obviously is chief among the culprits for providing content leakages. And they also found that the total cost of watermarking technologies is significantly lower. The interesting thing about this is that all the assumptions around what watermarking is really around forensic watermarking. We'll talk a little bit about where forensic watermarking works and where visible watermarking works. Yep.
Sorry, 40% lower than what?
Non-watermarking based premium content protection services.
Okay.
So that includes DRM, MFA, SSO, all compensating controls around content protection.
Great.
About half of our respondents also reported to us that overall the an integrated watermarking strategy reduces their revenue losses by 3%. That number seems really small, but the sort of the juxtaposition is that companies that have been polled on the same statistics for non-watermarking initiatives reported content revenue losses or revenue losses at about 8%, and watermarking-based strategies reduced that by 3%, which is about 43% or 45% more efficacy. So it's actually a really big deal in existing deployments today. And then finally, and this was surprising to me, is that the vast majority, 9 out of 10 respondents, actually reported that they had a high level of dissatisfaction with non-watermarking related technologies. Those are the same compensating control technologies I was alluding to, specifically DRM, et cetera. So there's definitely something that the industry is not doing right. If you have 9 out of 10 respondents say there's a problem in the types of tooling that I have available, either because they're too expensive, they're too expensive to own, they're difficult to roll out, or my users are reporting issues with how those technologies are integrated. So the four factors that are driving the adoption of watermarking industry are really the rise of theft, which we're continuing to see, the need for multi-device protection, especially with a good user experience, and we heard it upstairs with the screeners panel, that if we're building tools that are in the way of our users, our creators, our collaborators, then they're going to find ways around it. So finding compensating controls and technologies that make it for good user experience is not easier. There's also pressure to lower the TCO to improve operating margins. The need for a seamless integration into workflows. This is an integration into collaboration systems, from asset management into review and approval, into talent review, into wherever media flows during the post-production process. If there's a seamless integration possible, then we need to take advantage of it. And we need to make security invisible to our users. So those are some of the findings. That there's obviously much more detail in that report, but I think it's a really interesting way to look at the state of the technologies, and really should be a nudge for the vendor landscape to change the tools that are available or go about the way or deliver the services in a different way. So there's a clear business case, right, for watermarking. We've seen that the report proves that there's a 40% lower total cost of ownership on watermarking technology. So there's a very clear business case for this stuff. But this is really only the beginning. What I believe we're in the midst of is a watermarking revolution, if you will call it. Because all this is based on the assumption that watermarking is invisible, forensic watermarking. And we've all seen it because it's invisible. What we haven't been able to do because it's expensive is use watermarking technology that is visible and that's unique for every user and burned into the video on a baseband level for every user. And that changes the game in a really fundamental way. And we still, when we go and do our roadshows and we show SafeStream and we show how we're able to watermark something in real time with somebody's name, and we go into detail and explain that we actually do baseband encode decode, people are still blown away by the fact that that's now a possibility. And it's a wave of solutions that are coming because we're leveraging cloud technologies, we're leveraging infinite scale, and we know how to architect these systems. So I'm very encouraged about the direction that we're going, and I wanted to bring to you a few examples of implementations that we've done. I've done a similar talk here last year and the previous year, and we were in the midst of socializing SafeStream. And since then, many, many content creators have adopted SafeStream, and we've taken some of the example implementation, brought them here to give you an idea of how the technology was applied. But before we do that, I'd like to ask Alex to come up and just go a little bit more into detail on visible versus forensic watermarking.
Thanks, Kai. So, just a couple of words about what it is we're actually doing to this content that makes a difference, and it's not just us that's doing this. All of the watermarking vendors are going through kind of a similar revolution in the technology that's available to us. But basically what we're doing is forensic watermarking, which is great. It allows you to track the content. It's completely imperceptible, and it's robust against attacks. So sometimes we'll see users re-encoding, changing the video. This watermark will survive that. And it allows us to, it's like the, it's like a doped gold bar. You can bring that somewhere else, and based on what was stuck in there that you don't know is in there, we can find it. But if you don't know it's there, that doesn't provide a deterrent. And we've had customers tell us it's already out there. You know, the malicious friend of the admin of the person who's authorized to view the content somehow gained access and leaked it, and it's already out there. The damage is already done. So that's why we're focusing a lot on the visible watermarking. Visible watermarking right now is somewhat expensive. It's very CPU intensive to decode and encode. You can't really prep that ahead of time. So what we're trying to do is burn that in there so that the user sees it. They infer, or we tell them explicitly that there's a forensic watermark on there, and they understand that there's implications to whoever had authorization to that content. Those two things in combination are basically the way anything that you can put a visual mark on based on the use of the content, those are the two that we recommend and that we're rolling into everything. Maybe not consumer yet. I don't want to see that on my consumer video that's streaming to me on an OTT platform. But for anything pre-release, for anything that's valuable content that's confidential to a business in any way, it makes a lot of sense to do that. The other piece of the secret sauce here is that the technology has changed a lot. It's not just a 40% reduction in TCO. Part of what we're seeing here is that it's gotten way, way faster. Part of this is we're using vast amounts of hardware in the cloud. When we watermark something, we can use up to 42,000 cores of compute. That has no standing overhead cost. We only pay for what we use on that. Because those kind of technologies are available to us in the cloud. The CPUs are getting faster and cheaper. Don't ever bet against Moore's Law, which is, you know, the doubling of compute power at the same price every 2 years. That's a reality. GPU has gone full scale. AWS released the GPU, the latest rev of GPU on the latest generation, only a few months after it went live in hardware. So in the cloud, we can rent in small time slices on a grand scale exactly what we need to make it fast. So basically what we're able to do is we can slap this on anything. It's instant. We can do it in real time while it's playing back. If you need the whole content watermarked, let's say to download it, we can do that instantly. It's just become really fast. What's your question?
Who's your cloud partner?
We're mainly on Amazon, and we are now exploring two other clouds looking at multi-cloud strategy.
Okay. And can you apply this watermarking yet to audio material, or is it just visual material?
Our product right now is focused only on visual, but there are techniques that our partners can apply to audio. We just haven't gone there yet. So that's basically the theme there. This allows us to do those two things, at least one of which is difficult, both of which are difficult, instantly. And when we wrap that in an API, you can basically, you do a small player rework. You either use our player or you put our HLS system into your player. And you can put that anywhere. And like I said, all the watermarking vendors are now going through the process of reducing the cost, driving that cost down so that we can basically secure everything using a similar technique. So one of the first places we put that was on screeners. This is sort of like us eating our own dog food, because we also have a digital asset management system, and we have customers who need to share content. And so I'd like to ask Jared to give us an overview of screeners and talk about what that integration looked like.
Sure. So when we were doing the discovery for screeners, we found that watermarking is an easy sell. In fact, we didn't have to tell anyone they should watermark things. Everywhere we went, watermarking was already part of the requirements for sending out screeners. The problem was you really had one of two scenarios pre-SafeStream, which was either you had organizations that had invested in substantial hardware buildouts and were actually encoding a watermarked version for every potential recipient, regardless of whether they watched it or not. the last few years made that strategy really, really cost ineffective. Because what you have are three trends that are all working against each other. One, you're making more content. Two, you have more reviewers. And three, reviewers have more things to watch, and so the share of what you send them that they watch is actually dropping. So your costs are ballooning, and your returns are diminishing. So, you know, folks who had these build-outs were coming to us to figure out how to more effectively scale that. The other side of the coin is, yes, we tell our boss that we watermark everything, but we don't. I won't rat out anyone whose staff I may have talked to who told you they watermark everything when they're not, but compliance was low because what you had was a real misalignment of cost and value and a problem with scaling. So SafeStream was the natural fit for screeners because by being able to generate the watermarks on demand, when your press reviewer goes to watch a TV show, that's when the watermark is generated and that's when the cost is incurred instead of either preemptively, and we saw you participation rates in blind press screeners somewhere around 10%. So that means for every view you're getting, you're spending 10 times that if you're preemptively watermarking for every viewer. And SafeStream really right-sized that equation, which I think has been a lot of the adoption of screeners.com, which we actually don't license. We just give away for free with SafeStream purchases. So that was really where we found great traction in the market by taking the SafeStream scale and bringing it to one very specific media use case, which is screeners.
Cool. Thanks, Jared. So one of the important things that I think we're seeing in the vendor landscape is the delivery of services via API. Who here does not know what an API is? Is everybody? All right, fantastic. So to me, an API, not an IPA, but it is that time, an API is something I can consume. As a developer, I can see a problem, I can see the solution, I can take that solution and plug it into my problem set, and then I've got a problem solved. And that's exactly what this is. It's a delivered service that's truly turnkey. Latitude is a customer that we recently integrated with. They have a product called Lumiere, which is essentially an audience feedback product. And I asked them to be here, and last minute they couldn't make it, so I'm going to represent them as best as I can. The product they have is a product called Lumiere, and it's essentially a focus group product. The idea is that if you're a studio, you're testing a pilot, and you want to figure out if you want to put that into production. So you're going to conduct focus groups, and those focus groups on-premise are obviously expensive. They take a lot of coordination, and being able to use the web for that is an obvious choice. The problem, though, is around content security. So Latitude had a big customer that happens to also be involved in the theme park business that was essentially trying to do this thing and decided not to go with Latitude as a vendor because of content security issues. They found SafeStream, and I spoke with a developer 2 days ago. It took them a day to implement SafeStream into their existing product, a day. So within, you know, really less than a workday, he had the full POC working. They went back to this customer and showed them the implementation of this, and they closed the deal. So business was one on that front. I'll show you a couple of things that they actually do because they work for a lot of different companies in the space, and the tooling is really, really cool. So they have tools for audience feedback, such as giving comments on a timeline, but there's also sort of feedback like sentiment analysis, like I like this, I don't like this. There's a bunch of tools that essentially allow a viewer to give feedback on their take on whatever they're seeing in front of them. They also have the ability to analyze based on audience demographics. They have the ability to pop up specific questions like, do you like this character? Did the character make the right decision? So it's a really cool tool that I wasn't aware of, but I know many of you may already be using. So you can see the use case here. Doing this kind of thing online, doing it on the web makes a ton more sense than getting people into a closed environment where they, you know, sort of have to take time out of the day. So the result of this, again, was a day of safe stream integration. They told me they spent an extra week to customize their own player against the implementation because they actually decided to overhaul their player strategy independent of this. And the success here is they won the business. Not only that, though, they were able to demonstrate that the feedback that they gathered from the web platform matched the feedback that they gathered in the on-premise focus groups. And finally, the client decided not to pursue the pilot based on the feedback they collected here. So I think this is just a really cool story of where there was a problem, business was lost, SafeStream was implemented, it took a day to do it, low cost, they won the business, and the client got a really good result at the end of it. Next, I'd actually like to invite Nick Stokes up from X Platform Consulting. We've been working with Nick, many of you may know him over the years. He's an expert in all things workflow, and he's built many systems. He has helped us figure out how to fine-tune SafeStream, and take
thank
it away.
You, thank you. Thank you, Kai.
I'll pull up your slides.
Yeah, so I run a couple companies, mainly on the consulting side, but the integration side, focused on software development, work with just about every large digital asset management system across every large media company over the last 12 years, so I have a lot of experience in, you know, content security, cloud systems, distribution, OTT management, etc. Over the last, I would say, 18 months, I've done a lot of, led a lot of projects that focus on safety development, and I'll sort of talk about them. I won't bore you guys with these slides. But who we are, we build, we provide consulting and building managed secure libraries in the cloud, mostly centered around Amazon. And we develop custom solutions for secure review and approval and distribution, you know, pre-release to cable and satellite networks and OTT networks. I work with a bunch of companies, primarily in Los Angeles, Atlanta, and New York. You know, my sort of core technology partnership ecosystem is, you know, SafeStream, obviously, but also Amazon and Google. And on the managed file transfer side, both Aspera and Signia. I wanted to go over a couple example use cases, you know, all centered around SafeStream. As content security and the requirements, you know, 2 years ago, as Jared said, you know, there's a lot of companies that were, we have 5 minutes, a lot of companies that were coming to us and saying, hey, we want to build large, scalable, monolithic transcoding systems and do on-fly, you know, digital distribution of share links with personalized watermarks on them, and as Jared attested, you know, that was just a very, very, very expensive undertaking. So with an introduction to services like SafeStream, it made it, number one, less expensive, more scalable, and easier to implement. Looking at a couple of use cases that we've done probably over the last 3 months, I work with a large nonprofit. They focus on public health. They produce a lot of social justice, entertainment-based content. They bring in influencers and community leaders, and they've sort of built a sort of, you know, large communicational database of, you know, corporate meetings, you know, private meetings, and also public outreach stuff. What they wanted is a solution that sat up on top of their existing library, but also provided the security. So, you know, this is an example of a, you know, sign-in experience, where they wanted to provide external vendors and partners with SSO MFA-based authentication, register-based authentication, and also authentication against, you know, social accounts. And then from there, you know, you get logged in, you're able to, you know, filter this various content and preview it in, you know, in a very secure way. This particular project, I wouldn't say it took a week. You know, I'd say it probably took 2 weeks, but the SafeStream side was, you know, 2 to 3 days. Very, very, very flexible. Most of the requirements they had were, you know, out of the box. And, you know, moving on, you know, I had another customer who, you know, as a service, they aggregate film rolls and they provide distribution licensing. So, you know, another implementation of, you know, films that have tons of clips that, you know, you can, you know, say I want to license a clip from a specific title, you know, find a specific time code, and then provide that experience all in a secure and watermark perspective, with also just all the sort of back-end compliance analytics and so forth. Again, this is just, you know, previewing the clip, putting it in a bin, and then once you have these sort of, you know, clips available, they can, you know, place licensing requests against the orders, and the whole workflow is end-to-end. And the application here is actually is configurable, so someone handling the library and or exposing a subset of content to a specific customer or partner can configure a subset of material to share. So they can say, hey, I only want to show, someone comes in and says, hey, we want to see 1950s you know, B-roll footage from all your films. A librarian goes and sort of makes a select and then creates a custom portal that has that subject matter and then exposes to the customer, but still making it all secure and providing the watermark technology on the fly. I think that's the last slide, and someone just told us we have 5 minutes. But I think that anyone here who's a developer who's trying to develop something that's an alternative to this will quickly find you're going to face significant development in a long time, and probably no real return versus, you know, taking a look at what they have and either using what they have out the box or, you know, making suggestions around enhancements. Most of my customers have very, like, globally extreme, you know, content libraries and, you know, computational, you know, millions and millions of hours and minutes of process. And, you know, so far through all their testing, you know, they're all blessing, they're all loving the SafeStream platform. It's not even something I'm not even recommending. I'm suggesting that they take a look at it. And in a lot of cases, they're coming back to me like the next day or next week and saying, okay, we want to go with this, but we want to add these additional layers on top of it, which makes, you know, my life as a consultant and integrator easier because the customer has embraced the technology themselves and see the value themselves immediately. And most of these companies, the large ones, have already gone through exhaustive vetting processes and evaluations with, you know, every platform in the market. And this sort of cumulative feedback I get is, you know, technologies like SafeStream and the concept of both having visible and forensic watermarking on it and making that as a service that's pay-per-use is kind of like the holy grail and, you know, really a benefit. And it's 100% across the board being adopted across all my customers, which is a test that, you know, and not because these guys are sponsoring conferences or marketing. It's companies are looking for these solutions. They have these requirements, and what they've done is, you know, from an engineering perspective, provided everything as a happy meal service, pay to go, and that provides a lot of benefit economically for customers who want to use it, and, you know, control costs, etc. Cool. Especially at scale.
Thank you, Nick.
All right, thanks.
Any questions in the last few minutes we have here? No questions. All right, awesome. Well, thanks, everybody. Grab some beers on the way out, and we'll see you soon.